Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into the podcast. So there's a big hurricane coming. Florence, I think, about to hit the Carolinas. I grew up in upstate New York where we do not have hurricanes or tornadoes or earthquakes or volcanoes. And growing up, you see footage of these things, you know. I remember the 89 World Series earthquake in San Francisco. I remember Hurricane David, I think it was 93. Might have been 92 in Miami. Various and sundry tornadoes in the Midwest. So our experience with it, or my experience with it, and I think for most of the country, with hurricanes especially, your experience with it is just the footage of the damage afterwards. In 2002, I met and married my wife, who was from Florida, and I moved there. In 2002 and 2003, there were hurricanes, but none of them really impacted us in any way that I recall. I don't know whether they missed Florida altogether, or we just got a little rain, or... just on the outskirts there. But in 2004, that changed. The first hurricane that impacted Florida in 2004 was Hurricane Charley. It was an odd hurricane because it was very small but very powerful. I think normally, from my own experience at least, and from what I read, it seems like the larger hurricanes are more powerful. Charley was had a small diameter, but was very powerful. And they were predicting it was going to come right into the mouth of Tampa Bay. And by 2004, we had bought a house and we lived in a town called Apollo Beach, Florida, which was right on the bay. And essentially, the news report, I didn't understand how news worked at the time, but the news reports were saying that the storm was going to turn and go right into Tampa Bay and push up into Tampa Bay. And the storm surge, the devastation, was going to be biblical. And we lived in an evacuation zone. So we evacuated to her father's house. And the morning, the day of the landfall, which was sometime early afternoon, up until 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, they were still saying it was going to come into Tampa Bay. I really had the feeling we were never going to see the house again. And as weather is want to do, somehow, randomly, against all the predictions of all the meteorologists on the Weather Channel and the local news, Hurricane Charley made a eastward 90 degree turn on its northern trajectory and made landfall at a place called Punta Gorda. And was very devastating. Punta Gorda was a retirement community. A lot of retirement communities in Florida have manufactured homes. You might call them trailers. They're kind of nicer than trailers, but not sturdier. And when the storm hit, they just ripped them to pieces. Then the next one to come was Jean. I don't remember I think Jean came kind of the same way, but it went farther out in the Gulf of Mexico and then kind of came back around. And Jean was one they canceled the... I forgot a funny story with Charley. Hurricane Charley caused a lot of damage in Tampa, and then when Jean came through, I think it was a direct hit on Tampa or close. And the power went out in the city. They have a pump system to deal with flooding in Tampa because it sits right on the ocean. And what it is they have these pumps that hook up to the storm drains and pump water out into the ocean so that the city doesn't flood. So when they lost power, the pump system lost power, and when it came back on, it turned on in the default mode, which was reverse. So in the midst of this storm and the emergency response and all the flooding and the rain and everything else, you also had the ocean being pumped into the city, which made the flooding much, much, much worse. So when Gene hit, they closed the highways, which you hear that phrase, I don't know what it means everywhere. In Florida, what it means is that if you live in an evacuation zone, or if you're on a closed highway and something happens, you can't call 911, they won't come. So when they say the highway is closed, it's not actually closed. You can go drive on it. Just if you got in an accident or your car blew over or whatever, anything happened to you, you can't call 911, they won't come get you. So we were getting the bands of Gene, and I got up in the morning and went to work. My wife was not pleased. And I was at work until, I guess, about 12, 1 o'clock, and we closed because no customers came because it was a hurricane. I was working in a garage at the time. And I went home on the highway that was closed. So there was all this flooding. Where I worked, the flooding was so bad that next door, we were kind of a little higher. I mean, nothing's high in Florida, but we were probably 8-9 feet above the road. And next door to us was Walgreens, which was right at street level. And the water was pouring in through the drive-through window. Oh, so however high that is, 4 or 5 feet. So that was partly from the rain, partly from the runoff, partly from the pumps going backwards and pumping the ocean up into the city. It was a trip. When Francis threatened the east coast of or the west coast of Florida where we lived, I sent my wife to my parents' house in New York. I couldn't bear the thought of another one. It was going to be another direct hit. We had evacuated. After Francis, we lost power for quite a while. I think 2 weeks. We lived with my mother-in-law. We had no air conditioning, no electricity. So I sent them away, I think for a week or 10 days or something like that. And then the funny part about Francis was it never really made landfall in western Florida. It drove it straight up into the panhandle, made landfall Pensacola or somewhere like that. So it ended up not being a big deal for us. And then over the years, we were there 10 years, there was a few more. That was the year that was most memorable to me. But the thing that was so weird to me, as someone who only knew hurricanes from seeing the damage that they caused afterwards, I thought, you know, you see the footage on TV of this giant swirling cloud, and you see the videos and the footage of the damage, these ripped apart houses and debris and all this stuff. I thought a hurricane was just like a giant tornado, like some insane storm on the surface of Jupiter. In reality, it's not that bad. Which is weird to say, because they cause a ton of damage. But if you're on land and a hurricane is there, the way it works is it's a really windy, rainy day for about 20 minutes an hour. There's these bands, it's like spokes on a wheel that come out from the eye of the hurricane, and that's where the storm is, and as they come over you, they just dump water, and it's really windy. And then in between, it's just kind of windy, like a windy day, a normal windy day. And what causes the damage, there's high winds. I'm not saying it's not windy, it's windy. But what causes the damage is it just keeps going. You know, like where if you live in upstate New York, or you live in Iowa, or you live in Colorado, and you have these storms, they come and go quick, right? It's super windy, and it rains really hard for 20 minutes, half an hour, and then it's over. So a hurricane is like that, but it lasts for couple days. If it's a slow-moving storm, you could have 20 minutes an hour of a windy, rainy storm for 48 hours. And nothing has a chance to reset. The one casualty, the guaranteed casualty in every hurricane is those awnings at the gas station. Whoever designed that was not thinking. So those things are always falling over, but the real damage of the hurricane and the real power of the hurricane is it's this low pressure system that pushes the ocean in front of itself like a snowplow. So as it travels, it's depressing the ocean at the eye of the storm where the lowest pressure is, and that pushes out in front of it this wall of ocean, and they call it a storm surge. And when it comes in, it's a, you know, it's the stormiest ocean, only it hits land and it just rips apart everything. That's the majority of the damage in a hurricane. But, you know, there's wind damage. My friend lost a roof during Jean. And he said he was sitting on his screen porch during a hurricane. So, like, that, you know, it's not a tornado. It's different. It's like 80, 90 mile an hour wind gusts and 70 mile an hour winds the rest of the time. And he's sitting on his screen porch and he was smoking. And he said as he sat there, he saw one shingle come off the roof and go flying out into his backyard. And he thought, that's not good. And then about 10 minutes later, a second shingle. And maybe 5 minutes later, a third and fourth shingle. And then a minute after that, another five or six shingles went. And then, once it was exposed, once the underside of those shingles was exposed, it was over. And he said it was like a machine gun firing shingles out into his yard. Just one after the other. So by the time it was over, he had no shingles left on his roof. And then the wood gets saturated and it starts to leak in between and caused a lot of damage. The water caused a lot of damage. But yeah, I didn't know what to expect. And at first, I was really terrified, and I tried to seem like I wasn't terrified because nobody else seemed terrified. But I thought, you know, this is going to be bad. And it's bad. It's not. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's not a tornado. And that storm surge is unbelievable how much water it can push. So now you got this one coming to the Carolinas. In 1999, there was a hurricane in the Carolinas called Hurricane Floyd, which caused a bunch of damage. And I read this article, I think it was in Rolling Stone magazine. In the 1980s and 1990s, North Carolina became a premier hog farming destination. And I don't know what prompted that. But it's these enormous factory farms with hogs. And once you get a couple thousand or 50,000 or 100,000 hogs in one place, what to do with their waste, their fecal matter, becomes a big issue. So what they've figured out to do, which seems untenable and stupid, is they dig these giant pits like the size of football fields, and they make these lakes of hog poop and piss. These giant pig shit ponds, and they build walls around it to try to contain it. And when it starts to fill up, they pump it out into trucks, or they pump it out onto fields, try to get it out of there. And what happened in Hurricane Floyd is that the flooding and the wind and the water erosion, some of these hog pits, the pig shit pits, knocked the walls down. And then all that waste drained into creeks and streams and ponds and tributaries. And if you're not a farmer, you may not know, but animal waste is used as fertilizer because it's a good fertilizer. Now, it's impractical. It has downsides. But it still is widely used. That's why they spray it on fields as a fertilizer to return organic material to the soil. And once it got into the creeks and the ponds and these tributaries to the larger rivers and out into the ocean, it served as a fertilizer. And all these different species of plants and animals, I think there was a species, some kind of animal that they'd never seen before, that all of a sudden they were everywhere. These little, some kind of creek worm thing. And there was algae blooms everywhere. And just enormous ecological disaster caused by that. Well, much like New Orleans, they haven't learned their lesson. That was 1999, nearly 20 years ago, and they're still doing the exact same thing today. So now we have this storm they're calling the superstorm or whatever. They're saying it's pretty bad. Coming on basically the same path as Floyd. So for those barrier islands, the Carolinas got a lot of nice barrier islands with a lot of great development there. Those are in danger of the storm surge for sure. I would assume that the damage is going to be catastrophic. Further inland, normally, you know, the damage is less and less because the land actually kind of messes up the hurricane. Once the eye of the hurricane hits land, it kind of breaks it apart. It's being out in the ocean and having no resistance that allows it to really grow and grow and grow. So that's why hurricanes only really affect coastal areas. Because once the eye makes landfall, the hurricanes kind of fall apart. So further inland, you see less and less damage, but it's still a lot of rain because before the eye lands, it's just rain and rain and rain. You know, some of these storms are hundreds of miles in diameter. And all that rain's got to run back. So North Carolina hasn't learned its lesson. They have not changed the way they deal with the animal waste. So you're probably going to see that exact same thing again. I think it's funny how people with nature act like stuff's not going to happen. When the hurricane, there was a hurricane a few years ago that came up and made landfall somewhere around Manhattan Island. And the media, the weather media went crazy saying it should never have happened. And King Andy, the governor of New York, went on to blame climate change for the fact that it happened. Of course it's going to happen. If you're on the eastern seaboard, you're going to eventually get hit with a hurricane. Obviously, it's more common in the Gulf states, Florida, coastal Carolinas, obviously. If you look at the way the hurricanes travel, that's going to be the more common path. The Caribbean islands, Florida, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and then up through the Carolinas. But that doesn't mean that they don't also hit Venezuela, Mexico, turn around and go back out to sea for no reason, New York, New Jersey. I'm sure you could hit Maine with one. The Bermuda gets hit. That's way out in the middle of nowhere, out of the normal path. But I feel like we don't learn from things. These things happen. Weather proves, Mother Nature proves that she is an unbeatable foe. And we don't learn. In the Bible, the idea of building something on sand is used as an analogy because even 2,000 years ago, people knew it was dumb. We build skyscrapers on the sand. Maybe not skyscrapers. But if you go to Myrtle Beach or some of these coastal resort towns, there are buildings built in sand that are 20 stories tall, 30 stories tall. That's insane. Just because they have not been ripped down yet, don't think that means they're not getting ripped down. And in New Orleans, you had Hurricane Katrina show you that your levee stinks. It's insufficient. And they've made some minor little repairs here and there, least expensive as possible. Oh, don't want to spend all that money. Yeah. Guess what's going to happen again? You built a city below sea level with a wall between you and a lake. Hmm. Wonder what's going to happen. And these North Carolina pig farmers, the same thing. It was a disaster in 99. It's going to be a disaster in 2018. If that storm lands the same way as Floyd did in 99, the results are going to be exactly the same. Those stupid walls they built around their pig poop ponds are going to crumble apart. All the pig poop's going to drain out of them. It's going to cause another ecological disaster. Not to mention a health disaster, because God knows what kind of bacteria live and fester in those pools of poo. So ridiculous. So this hurricane's going to come, and it's not going to be, you know, it's not a tornado, it's a hurricane. It's a windy day, maybe a windy 2 days, a rainy day, a rainy couple days. The damage is not what you think. A hurricane doesn't show up and knock your house over with the wind. It's not that windy. You can stand out in it. You can go stand out in a hurricane. Look at that guy on the Weather Channel. What's his name? You know the guy. He goes and stands where the thing makes landfall, right on the coast, in a raincoat, and reports on the weather. It's very windy and it's raining. He'll be there. What's his name? Jim something. So it's not like a tornado. You would never do that with a tornado. You wouldn't go stand in Norman, Oklahoma as a... excuse me. As a giant tornado came blowing through town. Because you'd be gone. You can stand in a hurricane. It's different. So then the Washington Post puts out an op-ed. I guess it's an op. I'm assuming it's an op-ed. I hope it's not a news story. That Trump is complicit in the hurricane. I've heard these stupid arguments. Because of the climate change accord, I'm assuming. Every time there's a hurricane, it's worse than the year before because stuff costs more money, and they measure the damage of storms in dollars. So if you build a skyscraper on the beach and there wasn't one there 20 years ago, and then it gets damaged in a storm in 2017, let's say, the monetary value of the damage of the storm is going to be much, much higher than it was 40 years earlier when there wasn't a single building on that beach. That's just how it works. Not to mention, with inflation, the dollar is worth less, so any damage that's the same would be more because of, it's like how they do with movie ticket prices, right? Like, the new movies do better than the old movies. Yeah, because the tickets cost more, and you measure their success in dollars. But I digress. So they keep saying that climate change is making the hurricanes more frequent, which it's not, and stronger, which it's also not. You can they've studied hurricanes a long time. You can study the frequency of storms. You can study the strength of storms, average strength of storms, barometric pressure, wind speed, anything you want. There's not evidence that the hurricanes have changed in any kind of a trending way since they started studying them. But the left is mad at Trump for backing out of the Paris Accord, which was just basically the United States under Obama agreed to pay a tax and at the same time to regulate our own industry while other countries we're currently competing with didn't. The argument was that the United States is a disproportionately large polluter, and that I've even heard people say that we had an unfair head start in industrialization, so India and China need to be allowed to pollute the way we used to pollute so they can catch up. Thank God Trump's president. Such stupid logic. Like, oh, we're going to be unemployed and pay our taxes so China can catch up? What? We're competing economically. We don't want them to catch up. If it can be avoided. But that's the thing. So the Washington Post came out and said Trump is complicit. It's Trump's fault that there's hurricanes. Because feelings and stuff. So that's where we're at. So I'm really hopeful that the storm causes as little damage as possible. I hope that people are listening to the authorities telling them to evacuate. They're not dumb like me and driving on the highway and going to work during a hurricane. Because the one thing I learned going through those hurricanes for 10 years in Florida is really anything can happen. They can take a weird turn. They can cause a lot more damage than you think they're gonna. They can cause a lot less damage than you think they're gonna. They can fizzle quickly. They can kind of just hover, stay in one spot, and just pound and pound and pound the shore. The possibility of the different things that can happen during a hurricane is infinite. So your best bet is just to get out of the way. I think they've had evacuation in orders in place for quite a while, at least for a few days in the Carolinas, and people should definitely heed those warnings. So my thoughts and prayers are with the people in the path of Hurricane Florence. And I hope you all have a fantastic day today. Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis, available now on Amazon.com. The patriarchy and masculinity are good. Don't listen to all this stuff people are saying about toxic masculinity, smash the patriarchy, all that stuff. It's all nonsense. If you're a man or a young man, you need to get my book so you can understand who you are and why God made you that way and what you're supposed to do about it. And if you don't like books, this is a good book for you because it's not that long. It's not a bunch of scientific studies. No more big words than are necessary. So if you're an avid reader, it's an easy read. If you don't like to read, it's not that bad. You can do it. And then you'll know. If you're a woman, it's a great book to read so that you know, especially if you're a young woman, meeting men, pondering the idea of marriage perhaps, so you can know what kind of a man you should be around. What are the things you should look for? What are the things a man should be doing with his life? So check it out. It's on Amazon.com. Also at the Kindle Marketplace, I think it's called. Listen, I hope you have a great day today. I hope that if you are in the path of the hurricane, that you are evacuated someplace safe. And for all the knuckleheads like me that stayed and are going to go to work in the middle of a hurricane, Godspeed. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.